This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at cincinnatiopen.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, 5 years after the war in Ukraine broke out, the government have announced that it'll withdraw supports for tourist and commercial accommodation that are housing up to about 16,000 Ukrainians. We want to know, do you agree with the government's decision? First of all, though, Anna Tully, who's from the Ukrainian Action in Ireland group, is with me here on the line today. Anna Tully, what was your reaction when you heard the government's announcement, first of all?
Well, my reaction was of disappointment, because I think that there has been a policy in this government over the last period of time of gradually withdrawing a lot of supports from Ukrainians. And while, you know, you could argue that some of those supports haven't been the most sustainable way to, you know, to support the Ukrainians that are in Ireland, there are no realistic and practical alternatives being put forward. And overall, there is a feeling that there is this policy of just ending the support and hoping that Ukrainians will go away and not bother Ireland anymore.
Do you not think the Irish government has actually been very supportive of Ukrainian people living here?
I think it has been, but that's exactly my point, that those supports need to continue. And if certain supports are being withdrawn, there needs to be alternatives being put forward. For example, in terms of housing, that's not a uniquely Ukrainian problem. That's a problem for Irish, that's a problem for everybody in the country. So if there is a support that's being withdrawn from Ukrainians, who are people that, you know, that there's a reason why they ended up in those hotels to begin with, that there needs to be some sort of support in terms of the housing market getting better so that everybody can get a chance to find accommodation of their own.
It's only for the tourist and commercial accommodation, though, where the supports are being withdrawn. So what other accommodation does that actually leave for Ukrainian refugees?
Just the private market. It's making people go into the private market to rent privately, and it is going to put more pressure on the rental market that is already under stress from everybody else.
So do you envisage that the vast majority of Ukrainian refugees that are currently here in Ireland since the war broke out, do you envisage they will now return home?
No, I don't think they will, because it's a complex decision to make, right? There's a plethora of factors that will affect a person's decision to stay in Ireland or to go back to Ukraine. A lot of Ukrainians that are in Ireland are from the areas that are very much affected by the front line, from the, you know, the densely populated east and south areas of Ukraine, and then they might not have anywhere to go back to. And when making a decision to go back, if they can at all, they will have to think about their children, about their prospects, about their safety, about a lot of reasons. So you can't really just say that if a person A is from a certain part of Ukraine, if that circumstances, that's okay, cut their support, they can go back to Ukraine. That's not really how it's going to work. And it is very hard to say whether those people can go back to Ukraine and what their options are. And it is actually, I think, very regrettable that people will be facing that type of decision, because it can very much put their lives at risk.
But was it your expectation that the Irish government would continue to support Ukrainian refugees, you know, until, you know, basically no timeline, that this would continue forever?
I think my expectation would be for the Irish government to improve the conditions for all of us in Ireland so that support is not needed. That would be my expectation, that the government improves the housing market, improves the infrastructure, so that people can move, you know, when they do come to Ireland, they are able to find accommodation of their own, they are able to rent, they are able to work. That would be my expectation, and that's the most sustainable thing that anybody can do.
How many Ukrainian refugees are currently in Ireland, do we know at the moment?
The CSO publishes a lot of statistics on Ukrainians, and there's about 84,000 as of the statistics that were published in February of this year.
Yeah, no, because the reason I ask is because I've seen various different numbers quoted, and we're talking about maybe 16,000 being affected today, but that's just the 16,000 that are currently residing in hospitality or tourist type accommodation. But I mean, if you're saying there's 84,000 in total, I mean, it's still a huge number, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And it's worth noting, really, that a lot of those Ukrainians have actually worked very hard to get out of the hotel-provided accommodation. Over the last couple of years, government was pushing very hard to get Ukrainians to move out of that accommodation and to avail of schemes like, for example, hosted accommodation. And there are, you know, there are about 18,000 different hosts across Ireland who are hosting Ukrainians. However, it's obviously worth noting that that support is also being withdrawn. So you gotta keep in mind that when the government is saying that they're going to withdraw simultaneously the monetary support for hosts, which is the payment of 600 euro per month, and this accommodation, it's not just the 16,000. You are talking about a much larger group of people that are getting some sort of support from the government in terms of accommodation and losing that support. And that's how that's going to impact everybody, not just the Ukrainians themselves, but also the very much, you know, strained rental market in Ireland, the hosts who were getting that financial benefit and who were, you know, using that money to supplement their income, you know, or whatever it is that they were using that money for. So it's going to affect a lot of people, both Ukrainians and Irish, right? And overall, I just want to say that the ARP, the hosted accommodation, was an overall fantastic idea. Hopefully should continue. However, the government did say that they want to phase it out next year, which is also unfortunate. So you can see the picture here, right? That there is a gradual phasing out of all of the supports, some of which are more sustainable than others, some of which are better than others. And while all of that is being taken away, we do not yet see any sort of meaningful improvement across the country in terms of the housing market, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of those type of things that would help everybody.
Okay, Anna Tony, listen, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today. Much appreciated.
Thank you so much.
087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. Padraig is with me on the line. Padraig, you own Clancy's Restaurant based in Youghal in County Cork. I believe you welcome the government's decision.
Yes, hi Andrea, how are you?
Good.
Yes, I do, yeah. I mean, to me, the Department of Integration should never have used hotels, especially in small seaside towns that depend on tourism. Obviously, I agree with Ireland taking in the Ukrainians overall, but what they did at the time was there was such a rush to you know, house the guys coming in from Ukraine, is they just got on the phone, they called hoteliers and said, we're going to give you this X amount of money, and they didn't really care where they put them. And here we are five years later, and, you know, small towns have been devastated by losing accommodation, you know, no beds available for tourism. So, yeah, I do agree with it.
You think the time has come to end the supports? And what about
not all supports? No, I mean, listening to that gentleman on the phone there, I'm just really talking about hospitality. I mean, hotels that are located, you know, down the west of Ireland. I mean, the west of Ireland, the south of Ireland. You know, they just took every hotel, every bed night, and, you know, they didn't really care. That's how the government, you know, that's what they did, you know.
Well, they didn't just take them. I mean, the hoteliers and the contract providers were very happy to actually, you know, to avail of the contract and to provide the accommodation to refugees.
Well, I agree with you. But when you're dangling a carrot that is large as a carrot, I mean, we all have seen and in print of what these hoteliers got from the government. You know, they just literally threw money at them to get accommodation. And a lot of them are probably retired at this stage from the money they've got from there. You know, so they didn't really care. So,
just when you're saying that, one of those, or certainly a hotelier, Lorraine Sweeney, is with us on the line today. Lorraine, is that what happened?
Absolutely not. Like, hoteliers across the country took in people. And in fact, in my circumstance, I took in half my hotel is in Ukrainian refugees, and the other half I kept open because I wanted to still continue to provide a service. So they peacefully coexist with one another for the last 4 years. In fact, we're just going into our fifth year now. And like when we took in Ukrainian refugees, we didn't just provide them with food and accommodation. We gave them supports of welfare and health, and we bonded with them. That's the other thing. Like, we have actually grown closer to the people who are staying with us. And literally, the country is uninviting them now. As a country, we're withdrawing our welcome that we so gracefully gave 4 years ago. And now suddenly we're telling them there's no room at the inn. And this is going to provide serious practical difficulties for a total of 60,000 people when you add the ARP being removed, the rental support, as well as the hotel accommodation. In my particular case...
People are still in receipt, just for a moment, around. Just people are still in receipt, though, albeit, I accept it is it's a low payment, but they are still in receipt, you know, of an adult and child weekly payment as well.
Well, most of them are actually working. This is the extraordinary part, because employers across the country now are suddenly going to lose about 40,000 employees that are gainfully employed in different companies around the country. And you just wait until those small towns suddenly no longer have very useful workers for our industry. And, you know, we're already at full employment in this country, and now we're going to tell approximately 40,000 of those who are working for us to go home.
Is that going to impact y'all, Padraig?
No, I don't think so, to be quite honest with you. We did lose the main hotel here that we've lost. I mean, we lost over 500 bed nights. And in fairness, you know, unfortunately, our hotels here in Yale didn't do coexist. They didn't give 50% away. They just gave the entire hotel away. And for a small town with a population of 8,000 to 9,000, losing over 500 bed nights is just a massive effect on our economy, especially in our season. I mean, listen, it's not that I'm against it. My point about it is just to wipe out hotels from small towns like y'all at the time that it was done. I mean, it decimated our season. And yes, you know, they came, they housed the Ukrainians, they integrated with us. A lot of them are working. I know a lot of them have gone. And yes, it has affected the town, but, you know... I just feel that you know, the income, that if we had over 500 bed nights back in our small town, it's just going to make a huge difference to our economy.
But that is the case, Lorraine, for many other small tourist towns, that, you know, seasonal towns that rely fully on tourism, like y'all in Cork, and I know of many others across the Western Seaboard as well, where bed nights were basically lost, you know, to those areas, and it has decimated the tourist industry.
Well, I wouldn't say decimated the tourist industry, but what I would say is that hotels are not a public convenience. They're not a state-funded organisation. They're private enterprise, and people who make the choice. I made the choice on two bases. One was I wanted to protect my hotel and have ongoing business afterwards, but I also wanted to play my part and invite people into the hotel and actually look after them really, really well, which is what we did. I'm sorry to say I can't be responsible for a restaurateur not having tourists in the town. He's not worried about me in the middle of winter when, you know, there's no tourism and my rooms are empty. And it's a commercial decision many people made, but they made it on compassionate grounds as well. And the question I'm asking today is, where is the compassion in the short notice, the decision that the minister is about to make, to tell people that you have to go elsewhere now? You're not welcome in Ireland anymore. And where are the children going to go to school? Where are the parents going? A lot of these are women and children as well. We have instances where women who lost their husbands in the war fled the country and came here, and they don't have a home. They don't have a town in some instances because it's been taken over. And there's no sight of the war ending in the foreseeable future. So what I would say is the government has to make a decision for to gradually reduce the numbers rather than do it on one quick swipe, which is just totally untenable. In my case, for example, I currently have 107 people in the hotel, and I previously had 140. Okay. And they're gradually, some went home, yeah, some went elsewhere, some went down the country. But to suddenly take a swipe at 60,000 human beings and tell them, go home. It just doesn't make sense.
Well,
a lot of them can't go home or won't go home because of the trauma and fear.
Just on the timeline of this, to be clear for listeners, the process we understand is to begin in August. It's going to happen on a phased basis, and it's actually happening over a 6-month period as well. So it's not going to be something that, you know, you're maybe staying in Lorraine's hotel tonight and you're gone at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That won't be the case. Many listeners, Lorraine, in agreement with you today, if the war hasn't ended, Ireland is wrong to cut supports. They took responsibility to provide support, and they need to spend more effort improving conditions in Ukraine, not just hand wave and suggest that it's now safe to return home. One of those, Tatiana, is with us here on the line today. How long have you been living in Ireland, Tatiana?
Hello.
How are you, Ireland?
And thank you so much for your help and support us. Yeah, we are in Ireland with my family for 4 years from the start of the war.
Okay. Where have you been living?
I live in Virginia. I'm very lucky to be in this place.
Yeah, nice spot, County Cavan.
Yeah.
And you're living in, is it in a hotel or accommodation or hospitality accommodation or what kind of?
No, we start to rent by ourselves. We don't know from the beginning about any program from government. You know, we just came here from the war with the shock, and we start to working, start to searching the house and everything, and we start to rent the house by ourselves.
Yeah.
And for 1 year, we do all by ourselves, support ourselves, you know, working hard and everything.
Yeah.
And after we knew about the program, about RP, this accommodation recognized payment, and some girl who lives with us, she's under this program, and we gave her the room in our house. Yes, so we know how it can support the Ukrainian.
You're privately renting accommodation, and then you were availing of the accommodation, the recognition, the payment scheme. I think it's about €600, isn't it? A month to take in. And what was your reaction when you heard the news today that the government now is going to end the commercial accommodation supports?
You know, I'm not worried about my family, because thanks God we are working. My husband, he's a good, and I also. But the people who's rent this one room, you know, and some of them maybe study, and some of them maybe can't find the job right now. Somebody just came, and yes, for them that will be probably to find some accommodation and pay itself, you know, for this room, even for room. If in Virginia we have a huge price for the room, I can imagine how this in other places.
Mm.
So this 600, they can help them even for one room, to rent one room.
So yes,
I'm a little bit in a shock.
Yeah. So and I'm.
But we can understand. We can understand the government and the people, and
you can understand the government's decision, can you?
Yes, okay. I can understand. Yes, because, you know, everything can be over. It can't be forever, how this said before. So, yes, but we need the time maybe to find solution. I don't know, to find the work or whatever.
Mm.
And we need, more this people who now use this program. I think they need some support, even to find some accommodation. Firstly, you know, not to stay in a queues and something like it, mm-hmm. because, as you know, here is it's not too easy to find even room from landlord and the house also. If you don't have a good reference and
would you, would I'm just curious, Tatiana, when you look back at your experience here in Ireland over the last 4 years, how do you think you've been treated by the Irish people and the Irish government?
I'm very happy with Irish people. They are so kind. They're so good. They always want to help you, and they provide this help. You know, not only talking about help. And also the government, that's very strong government, yes. And they can help you with anything what you need. They have a lot of programs. They have a lot of stages, a lot of staff who can help you with accommodation, with support, okay. with study and everything. Okay. Everything you can find for self-place.
It's been a positive, positive, I suppose, experience then. In your eyes. Let me thank you for joining us, Tatiana, and thanks for your time here in the programme. I just want to bring Helena in as well. Helena, you've been hosting Ukrainian refugees, is that right, over the past few years?
I hosted in the beginning, I hosted a family, a mother, father and a daughter for 4.5 months and in a little town up in County Meath. And I must say that the whole town rallied around and was so helpful, so supportive. And also even, you know, they were setting up a business. You know, there has been, I mean, we took in altogether, you know, 125,000. Ireland has really had a remarkable, you know, generosity. And I guess at this stage, you know, there is a sense of, you know, that shift. You know, Tatiana, I think, described it very well there.
So do you? So what's your agreement or not with the government's decision then today to withdraw the accommodation supports?
I think the first thing is not to turn an incredible success story into homelessness, not to, you know, stress our appalling broken housing system even further. You can't cut supports too fast. You know, you've got to encourage independence, integration. It's got to be done in a proper, you know, targeted way. And I guess, you know, for the host families, you know, there was so much unseen work in emotional support, in integration into the community. And, you know, that I think you need tapered
That's a fair point, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. But flagging it on the 28th of April that you're going to start this in August, and the fact that it'll happen over a 6-month phased basis, is that sufficient time or not?
I don't think it is. I really think that you know, we can't suddenly succumb to a compassion fatigue, and it's like wash our hands of it. It really does need to be managed properly, and it can be. And, you know, the Ukrainian people want to be independent. And I mean, their situation is totally unwarranted. Mm. It's gone on far longer than anyone could possibly have imagined. But I do think you've got to back the people and the communities who've done the heavy lifting. You know, you need clear communication, proper services. Most people have had very positive experiences, but they do, you know, the sense of even things like mental health support for very traumatized people. And that it's, you know, it's not suddenly a sudden cutoff. There's been, if we rush integration, we're going to just nudge people out onto the street.
Okay.
We have a housing crisis already.
That's a fair point.
Crisis.
And quite a number of people actually making that point here today. I'm going to come back to the WhatsApps maybe in the second part of the programme. We want to know, do you agree with the government's decision to withdraw the state-provided accommodation from 16,000 Ukrainian refugees living here? It's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. My thanks, though, to Tatiana, hotelier Lorraine Sweeney, Padraig there from Clancy's Restaurant in Yall in Cork. Anna Tully is from the Ukrainian Action in Ireland group, and also my thanks there to Helena for joining us. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.